first, headed out west. So continue to pray for him as well. All right, Acts chapter number 20. Now, Kamani, do you have any special prayer requests that you want us to pray for while you're in school? Study and do the best of your ability. All right, y'all heard it. Amen. So let's pray for Kamani that he will do his debt level best. Amen. His parents are paying good money. Let's send him down there. Amen. So we'll trust God to work in a marvelous way. Amen. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 20. Let's stand here. We're only going to cover maybe two verses tonight, but we'll read verses 1 through 5, and 4 and 5 is going to be the main area of concentration tonight. 4 and 5. And so I'm going to read, I'll let you read with me 1, 2, and 3, and then I'll read 4 and 5 myself. Here we go. Let's start together. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And I'll read 4 and 5. And there accompanied him in Asia Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Amen. Last week we said that Paul is on the move for the master once again after getting run out of yet again another town. I don't know about you, if I got run out that often, I'd probably want to give up. Amen. But I'm glad Paul didn't give up. He kept going, and we're going to look at some things that encouraged him tonight. Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. I do pray that you would work in our midst, God, to give us a blessing from your word. Change us, Lord, a little bit more into the image of Christ, to the word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, thus far, we looked at Paul and how he is on the move coming out of Ephesus. There was a stir that happened up there in Ephesus by one named Demetrius. And verse number 1 says, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. That we saw Paul's mission now after Ephesus. He's on the move again, and he's going to go and do something a little different. But tonight, before we actually get into what he's going to do, we're going to take pay special attention to the people in verse number 4. He's got a good group of men with him there. We're going to talk about them a little bit tonight and give you some points on their life and see how we can better be like the Lord Jesus Christ through looking at their life. Verse number 1, we saw Paul's exit to Macedonia. The Bible says he departed for to go into Macedonia there at the end of that verse. And then we saw in verse number 2, Paul's exhortation at Macedonia. It says in verse 2, and when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, and we talked about that last week, what type of exhortation he probably had to give them to build them up, being a young church. And so we saw Paul's exhortation at Macedonia. Then we saw Paul's exhortation at Greece. Notice the end of verse number 2. He came into Greece and there abode 3 months. When the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. When he went down into Greece, he would have gone to areas like Thessalonica, probably, and Corinth. These were all areas down there in that area and covering that area. So basically, if you look at it, Paul did a loop. He came down to Corinth and came right back up by Philippi. How many of y'all got those maps in the back of your Bible? Go in the back of your Bibles real quick, and if you got a map, look for Paul's third missionary journey. Paul's third missionary journey. Everybody normally has these maps back here that we never look at. How many of y'all look at your map? Yeah. 1. Amen. I figured 2. Amen. Look for Paul's missionary journeys. Everybody find those. They're probably going to be called different things. Mine's is called the missionary journeys of Paul. Everybody find your map back there? Do you have color-coordinated lines to designate his first, second, and third missionary journeys? Okay, you want to look at the color coordinate for the third missionary journey. And when you find that, find Ephesus. Everybody see that? You find Ephesus there. That's where Paul is leaving from. He's going through the area called Smyrna, then the Pergama to Troas. Then he's going to be going up by Neapolis and Philippi, Amphipolis. He's going to come through Berea, Apollonia, Thessalonica. Then he's going to come back down through Athens to Corinth. And that's when he's going to get a change of plans, because his goal is to go to Syria, but he can't leave from there because they're trying to kill him. So then he makes a loop and goes right back up there by Berea and to Philippi, coming back down to Troas again, and then to Assos. Everybody follow that line? Everybody got that? Amen. So that's basically what Paul is doing here. So go back to Acts chapter number 20. So verse number 3, he has just come through Greece, and now he's coming back through Philippi. And notice what it says in verse number 4, because we saw in verse number 3, Paul's exhortation at Greece. He came down there, and for 3 months he stayed there, going into Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, Ephesus, Galatia, all those areas. Then we see also Paul's escape to Macedonia. It says down there, the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, and so he purposed to return through Macedonia. And that's where we're going to pick it up at right there, because we talked about last time that anytime you're going to set out to do something for God, you're going to run into hardships. Kamani, I hate to tell you that, but you're going to run into a hardship at college. Mark it down. When it happens, we don't know. But anytime you endeavor to do something for God, it's not going to be easy. If it were, everybody would do it. It's going to be a little tough. Brother Scott, it's difficult trying to build an orphanage to the glory of God for children. And you're going to have obstacles. You know, it's hard to plant a church. And it's hard to do anything for God. It's hard to memorize scriptures. It's hard to be kind to people constantly. It's hard to love. And anytime you set out to do anything godly, Satan's going to make sure that it's not easy. Why? He wants to stop you. If he can stop you, that's one less person living for God. Amen. Roman number 1 was Paul's mission after Ephesus, and Roman number 2 is going to be Paul's ministers after Ephesus. One of the things that that you can say about Paul normally had a good group of ministers around him to encourage him. And I tell you this, anytime you do something for God, you need a good group of ministers around you to support you and encourage you. Can I get an amen, Brother Scott? Amen. The last thing you need is people that are not on your side trying to help out. You need people that are actually on your side to help you out, to come behind you. Paul has that group with him in verse number 4 as we look at this point here called Paul's ministers after Ephesus. And I want you to notice, first of all, notice the first opening statement. And they accompanied him into Asia. So these men accompanied Paul on his missionary work. And so Paul was accompanied by these several men from his missionary work. Some believe that some of these men may have assisted in the offering that was going to go to Jerusalem. And you say, preacher, why would you say something like that? I'll tell you in just a minute. Amen. By the way, how many of y'all would have liked to travel with Paul? No takers? Rough? These guys didn't seem to mind. It says down there, and they're accompanied him into Asia. Sopater, you find him down there. Aristarchus down there. Secundus, Gaius, Timotheus, Tychicus, Trophimus. These guys accompanied him. Now notice where he ends up at. Follow the line here. Verse number 6, as we sailed away from where? Philippi. And verse 14, the first number 13, we went before him to ship and sailed unto where? Assos. That's in your maps in the back. Notice verse number 14. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to where? Mytilene. Verse 15. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogilium. And the next day we came to Miletus. Come down to verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus because that was close by. And that's when he gives his last statement to them. Come over to chapter number 21. It says in verse number 1, and it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Chios, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Now, you can actually go back and follow this chain in your map in the back. And verse number 2, finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Notice verse 3, now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. Come down to verse number 7. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. Verse number 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto where? Caesarea. And entered into the house of Philip. Come down to verse number 15. And verse 15. And after those days, we took up carriages and went up to where? Jerusalem. Where was the love offering going to? Jerusalem. So many scholars think that from some of these men that accompanied Paul, some of them were actually going to take the love offering money down to Jerusalem, because that is where Paul finds himself at eventually, down in Jerusalem. And so if you find your map there, you'll find what's going on there. Not only that, hold your finger in chapter 20 and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, because a lot of Bible scholars think that these guys that were mentioned there, some of those guys were utilized to take the money down. By the way, back in those days, the more the merrier. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice verse number 16. Paul says this, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being a more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Come down to verse number 22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner, fellow helper concerning you, or the brethren be inquired of, they are the messenger of the churches and the glory of Christ. Many think that when Paul sent that letter, some of the guys that we are speaking about here in Acts chapter 20 were some of the guys that went to Corinth to get the money to take it down to Jerusalem. Now, we don't know the assurance of that, but it is quite possible. Back over in Acts chapter number 20. And the point we're trying to make tonight here is traveling in a group is far advantageous, especially when that group is spiritual. If some of these men did go all the way to Jerusalem to assist with the offering, there had to be some strong spiritual character traits amongst them. Why is that? Why would there have to be some strong spiritual character traits with these men traveling with Paul? Anybody? Nobody wanted to travel, so it must be something. I didn't have any takers. Nobody said, we don't want to travel with Paul. Why don't we want to travel with Paul? And what would it take that these men would need to have if they were going to travel with Paul? Faith, that would be one necessary. Amen, I would think so. What are some other things that you think would be necessary to travel with Paul? Having the same mind. By the way, what is Paul? He's a church planner. Brother Serge, you helped Brother Kiefer down in Missouri. What did you need? It's not easy traveling with missionaries. Pastor Wyatt, you came down here like the second or third week. We got started. What did it take to get this church started? I came out as a missionary pastor, they called me. I was a missionary because I wasn't fully supported. And so I was on mission status, and I was out there for a while. Pastor Wyatt came along, and I needed some good men. Pastor Wyatt, what did it take? Amen. Amen. It does. By the way, how many of y'all have ever had guests come to your house? Well, first of all, how many of y'all ever went traveling before? Of course, what does it take to go traveling? Planning? What else does it take to go traveling? Huh? Organization? Money? Time off? What else does it take to go traveling? Patience? Taylor's about to go traveling. Amen. Patience? Planning. Now, take what you just said, and now somebody else is coming at your house to stay with you for a while, and you're going to take them on a trip with you. Now, what does it take? Another family's coming with you, a family of 12, a family of 7. What is it going to take now? A bigger car, amen. What else is it going to take? More provisions, Carlene? Amen. And by the way, nobody normally has to go to the bathroom at the same time, do they? Everybody's got to go to the bathroom at different times. And so everybody gets hungry at different times. And everybody wants to make a stop at the same time, at different times. Amen. So, you know, if you've ever had guests come over and you had to plan taking a trip, you know what Paul had to go through to get these men to travel with him. These are individuals. Now, it doesn't say anything about their wives, so I don't know if their wives were there. But Paul is traveling now from city to city. Now he's got these other men with him that are traveling with him. That's what it says. And chapter number 20, verse number 1. And they accompanied him into Asia. So these men went with Paul. By the way, if you did travel with Paul, let me give you a sneak preview, which you may have been in for. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And that's why I asked you, what type of men would these need to be if they're going to travel with Paul? 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. And Paul gives a summary of some of his ministry life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice verse number 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Notice this, in labors more abundant. He said, I'm working harder than everybody else. In stripes above measure. I got beat more than everybody else. In prisons more frequent. He said, I seem to be in prison a little bit more than everybody else. In deaths oft. He said, my life seemed to be on the line more than anybody else. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He said, I got beat 39 whips on 5 occasions. Thrice was I beaten with rods. He said, I got beat with rods 3 times. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, and journeyings often, and perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils by mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and naked. Beside those things, if that wasn't bad enough, that are without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So if you were going to travel with Paul, that's just a taste of what you might be in for. No takers? Imagine Paul having that resume and say, sign up, this is what you're in for. So if that is the case, what type of men did there have to be to travel with Paul? Like-minded? Unwavering? Carlene? Men of strong faith? Belief in Paul and the direction God's taken him? Amen? Because that's no tall order of stuff that Paul had to go through. Amen? Now, I assure you, Pastor White had no clue that the past 15 years would be like they were. Am I right? If Pastor White would have known that the past 15 years would be like the past 15 years, he would have stayed at Bethel. Am I right? If God would have said in 15 years, this is what it's going to be like, he probably would have stayed at Bethel. If he didn't show me that, I would have stayed at Bethel. I'd have said, Lord, I don't need this, you know. But God knows what we need. And so Paul going out here, these men know his manner. They know his lifestyle. He's got these men with him. And, you know, that's why I said previously, these men had to be of strong spiritual character traits to travel with Paul for any length of time, much like any missionary. Can I get an amen, Brother Scott? Amen. Anything peculiar that you find about these men here, and more particular, the number of them. How many men do you find listed there in verse 4? How many is it? How many say? Seven. Everybody count 7 men? Why does that seem to ring a bell? What is that? 7 is the number of what? Completion. Where do we see that number at before in the book of Acts? Anybody remember? Where's that? Seven sons of Sceva, yeah. We did see it in the seven sons of Sceva. We saw somewhere on a good side as well, amen. Where did we see that number 7 at before? Ah, there you go. Back in Acts chapter number 6. Go back there with me. Acts chapter 6. Brother Hall got it. That number is familiar to us. Brother Kamani said the 7 sons of Sceva. That too, amen. Those are bad guys, amen. So we look at the good guys. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4. Notice what happened here in the early church in Jerusalem when their numbers got too big. Notice in verse number 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now come down to verse number 4. Paul said this, verse 3, I'm sorry. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out, not Paul, the disciples. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse number 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God did what? Increased. And the number of the disciples, what? Multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. So the number is kind of interesting that in the early church, when they needed help, they got 7 men. I find it interesting when you come over to Acts chapter 20, Paul has 7 men traveling with him. Now, I believe that these men had to have some of the same character traits that these original 7 had just to be able to hang out with Paul. I mean, just to hang out with him. Amen. Why? Birds of a feather flock together. It's not Bible, but it's true. Amen. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpened the countenance of his friend. I believe Paul wanted to be around people that were like-minded, as someone said, that's going to help him in distributing the offerings to Jerusalem, but also to be with him and to encourage him because he was going through some things. So I want us to notice several qualities about these men. I'm going to ask you to pick out some things that you think these men may have or they may have needed. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Because my encouragement to you tonight is this: every ministry needs good encouragers. Every ministry needs faithful people. And I praise God for you guys' faithfulness. Amen. You're here all the time. You're here encouraging. You're here to lift up the hands of the preacher, to lift up the man of God, to lift up his wife, to help the assistant pastor and his wife, to help the deacons. That's admirable. We need people like that. But do you know what? We need more people like that. And I believe that's what Paul had here in these men. So let's look at some things about these men that I believe we can glean a blessing from. First one down there, it says Sopater of Berea. Sopater of Berea. Notice something about this guy, because when I look at Romans chapter 16, 21, we see something about him. Sopater of Berea. Go over to Romans chapter 16. By the way, most of these men are mentioned somewhere else in Paul's epistles. Romans 16. And in Romans chapter 16, notice what the Bible says about this guy by the name of Sopater. By the way, in Romans 16, 21, many think that this guy named Sosipater is the same guy as Sopater. Verse 21, Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. What can you pick up in that verse by this guy Sosipater if this is the same guy of Sopater? What's something about him that sticks out? And it's the same thing for Timothy, because they're both grouped together. What do you find about him? Work fellow. So that means he's not going to be ashamed to put his hands to the plow. He's going to be one to get in there and do some work. He's not going to say, well, Paul, I'm just going to sit over here and watch you. Well, oh, go for it, Paul. Praise God for you. Man, I couldn't have dug that ditch any better myself. Man, you're so good. No, he was going to be down there to help Paul out and dig the ditch with him. So he says, Timothy is my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. What can you pick up by that next word, kinsmen? What's that? He may be a relative. He said he's my kinsman. He may be a countryman, maybe a fellow Jew, or he may be his actual relative. By the way, what's the advantages of having a relative in the ministry with you? And there are some disadvantages too. But what about the advantage of having relative in the ministry? Brother Frank's down in North Carolina. He's got his mother and his father there, and he's got one of his sisters in there. Yes, Jeremiah or Elijah? Support. Support, amen. Yes? It's easy to rely on. Amen. By the way, do you know that Dr. Baldwin's staff was all family in the beginning? All family. Him, his wife, his son Michael, Michael's wife, Dee Dee, her husband, Kenny, and his wife. That was the staff. He had one secretary who wasn't blood. Everybody else was blood. And when I asked about that, you know what he said? Some of the same things you guys said. I can trust them. They're always going to be there. Their mainstay. They know my philosophy. They know how I stand. I don't have to retrain them. I don't have to get them schooled on what I believe. They believe the same thing I believe about the Bible, about salvation. They believe. He says, so why not have my family on staff? You know, a lot of people look at it and say, well, why are your family going to be on staff? Why can't my family be on staff? Because he don't know your family. He knows his family. If you're going to trust anybody, you should be able to trust who? Family. Now, I know unsaved family members, you can't trust them in that way. But if this is a relative of Paul, Paul could trust in this guy, Sosipater or Sopater. If this is the same person as some believe, he may have been a relative. At the very least, it says a kinsman or a fellow Jewish countryman. By the way, if this is the same man, what qualities may have would Paul have been looking for in him other than him just being a kinsman or a work fellow? What might have Paul been looking for? Especially as a relative. Integrity. Didn't a relative come on the trail with Paul before that was a relative of Barnabas? Anybody know who that was? Early on, who? John Mark. And John Mark was a relative of Barnabas. What happened to John Mark? He left the ministry. Now, he did come back and get restored, but he left the ministry probably when Paul most needed him. And so Paul said, I'm not taking him. He let us down when we needed him. I'm not taking him. So relative, you have to be looking at their faithfulness. Are they going to be able to stick it out? Are they in there for the long haul? Do they have your heartbeat? Do they have your mindset? If that is a relative, what other qualities might he be looking at as a relative? Courageous, amen. You say? Physically and mentally strong, amen. Amen. Why? Because if Paul's going to go out here and you know his track record, what he stands for, it's going to be difficult. And you don't want somebody that's going to quit at, you know, as soon as you know, get a door slammed in your face. I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. Wham! I quit. I'm going home. I didn't know it was going to be like this. Well, it's going to be worse than that. Amen. Sopater of Berea. Notice the next guy here. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Again, looking at what these men may have brought to the table for Paul to accompany him. If they were going to be ones to take the offering or if they're just with him. The next guy in line is Aristarchus of Thessalonians. Notice what it says down there. They accompanied him unto Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus. By the way, when I look at Aristarchus, the one word that comes to my mind, or the one word for Sopater is relational. He's family. The word that comes to my mind for this guy is flexible. Why would I say flexible? Go back to Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, look at verse 29. And somebody reading that verse 29 for me. Who's got that? Brother Hall? One of the things that I find about him, and I would say flexible. Why? He was Paul's companion in travel back here in 19. He was the one that they grabbed along with Gaius and rushed him into the theater and was about to whoop them up pretty good. But who do you find in chapter 20 who's one of Paul's companions still? The same guy. Now, either he's a glutton for punishment or either he's very spiritual and he's going to get behind the man of God. Because I believe he was very, very flexible in saying, you know what, I got beat up last time. He was a companion, Paul's companion in travel in Acts chapter 19. And a companion means one that keeps company with another. And so I believe he was still flexible as well as this word, faithful. Why would I say faithful? He just got beat up in chapter 19 or almost got beat up and he's still with Paul, knowing that it could happen again. You know what you need in the ministry? People that are flexible and people that are faithful. It doesn't hurt to have someone relational like Sopater, but you've got to have flexible people and you've got to have some faithful people that say, you know what? I got doors slamming in my face all day today, but you know what? I'm going back out next week and still knocking on doors. I don't care. I'm still going back out. This guy could have said, you know what, Paul? I am not going with you anymore. But what do you read in verse number 4 of chapter 20? And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater, Berea, and of the Thessalonians, who? Aristarchus. Same guy. When everything in you says, don't go, he goes. Now, if Pastor White was honest, I'm sure at some times he probably said, Lord, I don't need this. We went through some heartaches and headaches along the way. He probably said, I don't need this. I don't need this. Is this what it takes to be a deacon? Is this what it takes to be an assistant pastor? Is this what it takes to help start a church? I don't need this. And I'm sure he felt that. You say, how do you know that? Because I said that, and I'm the pastor. Sometimes I say, Lord, I don't need this. I don't need this. If this, I'd be like, well, who's that, Moses? This would like kill me. So sometimes you feel that way, but at the same time, we're faithful and flexible irregardless of what happens. Why? Because we're God called and not mama called. Amen. It makes a difference. And I believe these men were men of character and they had some qualities. You find relational qualities in Sopater, but in Aristarchus, I think you find flexible qualities as well as faithful qualities. And this last one, we're going to quit. Secundus. Notice him down there in verse number 4. And Secundus, he's of Thessalonica as well. What do we find about him? By the way, this is the only one that you don't find anything else about him in the scriptures. This is the only mention of Secundus. But let me propose this to you. At the very least, for him to be with Paul, what would Secundus have to be at a bare minimum? At bare minimum. Let's hope he's alive. Amen. But what would he have? We know he's got to be saved and baptized. But after that, what does he have to be? Yes. Available, that would be a good one. If you're going to run with Paul, I've got to be available. What else does he have to be? Faithful, that's a good one as well. But there's a key one that encompasses all that. That's true, but there's another one that encompasses that too. Spiritual. At a base minimum, he's got to be spiritual. I've got to have a spiritual walk with God. I've got to have my daily Bible reading and I've got to have daily prayer in. I've got to be already saved. Got to already be faithful. I've already got to be giving. I've already got to be surrendered. I've got to have some bare minimum basics of being spiritual. I've got to be a soul winner. I've got to have all these things, just the basics if I'm going to stick with Paul. I've got to be spiritual. Paul is not going to have just anybody with him if he's got to plant churches and go from town to town and trust the guys that are with him. And so at a bare minimum, I believe he's got to be spiritual. Nothing else is said of Secundus. However, the minimum, I believe the spiritual qualities or character traits that may have been noticed by Paul is his, after being saved and surrendered, is spiritual. Go to 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, and notice what Paul said to Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. And notice verses 1 and 2. Let a man to account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. That's the encouragement that he gave to Corinth. Then come over to Romans chapter 12. And many of you can quote these by heart. What he told the church at Rome. Romans chapter 12. And notice verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe that this man, if he was going to be with Paul, he had to be spiritual, which means he had to be surrendered. He had to be spiritual. He had to be ready and available to do whatever Paul wanted him to do. He's not mentioned any place else. Everybody else in here is mentioned some other place at least once. Secundus is not mentioned at all. But I believe that if Paul had him with him, he was spiritual. He was spiritual. Why? He is going to be advantageous to Paul in the ministry. He is going to help the ministry and not hinder the ministry. He is going to be a team player to do what it takes to get the job done. He is going to be with Paul and have Paul's back. He's going to be there to help him, to undergird him, to build him up, hold his hands up like Aaron and Hur. He's going to be there at a bare minimum in his spiritual state. And so we've looked at three of these guys already and four are left to go. And we'll look at the other four next week. But Aristarchus, I believe he was flexible. And I believe he was faithful. And then Sopater, he was relational. He was a kinsman, a countryman. He was a worker. And then this guy that we're looking at, Secundus, he had to be at least spiritual. Let me tell you, that's what every church needs. Is there a coincidence to the seven men here and the seven down in Acts chapter number 6? I don't know, but I would say that Paul's probably looking for the same type of men that were listed in Acts chapter number 6. By the way, a few pages over, we're going to find one of them in Acts chapter number 21. We're going to find Philip, who was one of those deacons in Acts chapter number 21. Amen. My encouragement to you is be like this. Be the one that's going to be flexible, the one that's going to be faithful, the one that's going to be spiritual, the one that's going to be relational. Be the one that's going to be there to help support the ministry. Every preacher needs people like that. Men, women, boys, and girls. They helped Paul out. They tarried for him at Troas, waited for him there. When they came down there, some great things are going to happen. But Paul used these men. And I believe these men were used, a blessing to Paul. As Paul was using them, Paul was receiving blessings from them as well. And I believe it went both ways. They were there to support Paul, and Paul was there to instruct them. By the way, he was able to instruct that guy named Timothy real good. Real good. Amen. So look at these men. Here's your homework for next week. Look up in your concordance, see if you can find these guys, and see what they're doing. Because that's what we're going to be looking at next week. Taylor's like, we won't be here. We can cheat. But look at what they do in the scriptures. Because Paul has his group traveling with them. And I believe every church needs men just like this. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to be dismissing a word of prayer. Amen. We do need these men. So let's make sure we glean these character traits that these men have and get busy for the glory of God. Soul winning on Saturday.